amazing wonder. The God of the universe cares about a little group of people here. I've really appreciated the comments that have been made and Chet's message, and my message really is a different angle of what Chet talked about. I want to thank each one personally. If you've prayed for me this week, I deeply appreciate that. And because of that, I trust the Lord to use what I'm going to share with you to both challenge you and encourage you. Quite a number of months ago now, I spoke about conscience. And I would like to review that again, all that I covered in just a minute or two, just quickly mention them, and then go on and talk about our conscience on the battlefield of life. First of all, conscience came into being in the Garden of Eden, when God clearly told man and woman what they're to do, and they disobeyed. They got the knowledge of good and evil, and they fell. They had no fellowship, close fellowship with God anymore, but he still loved them and cared for them and reached out to them. And then in John 8 and 9 and Titus 1 and 15, it tells us clearly that we're all born with a conscience, and that when we're born, our conscience is defiled. It needs fixing. Hebrews 10, 12 to 14 tells us that through faith in the blood of Jesus, we can be purged from dead works and our conscience can be fixed. It can have peace. 2 Timothy 2, 17 to 18, the believer's conscience can be defiled if he does not follow God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. It can be defiled, and that brings guilt and unhappiness. 1 Corinthians 8, 7 warns us how we live so that we do not defile someone else's conscience. If they think different than us, that we're careful, we can defile others' conscience, and their conscience can be defiled by others. In 1 Timothy 4, 2, we read about a seared conscience. That is a situation when a conscience was defiled, and over we ignored it and pushed it off and squelched it. And all of a sudden, God's word and the Holy Spirit become unsensitive to us. It doesn't touch us anymore. We become unsensitive. The conscience becomes unsensitive to God's word and the Holy Spirit. And then it says in that portion of scripture, they start accepting lies. And then we have in 1 Peter 2, 18 to 21, if we walk according to the conscience as it leads us in God's word and through the Holy Spirit, and we suffer grief, that is well pleasing to the Lord, and there's a reward for that. And that's part of the passage I'm going to be talking about tonight. 2 Corinthians 1:12. When we walk according to the conscience that is guided by God's word and guided by the Holy Spirit, we turn around and look back on our life and we have rejoicing. And Mark and Vanessa, you're soon going to get married. You know what? Praise God, you're doing it according to God's word. That day, and from there on, you're going to look back with rejoicing because you've followed God in his word. And I encourage each one of you, young men and women, with that. You won't be disappointed by doing it God's way. But at the end of life, we'll look back and we'll rejoice if we have a pure conscience and follow it according to God's word and the Holy Spirit. One I didn't talk about, I'm going to just mention it for time's sake, a couple here. One is in 1 Timothy 3:9, that those that serve must have a pure conscience. If you want to serve the Lord in any way, your conscience must be pure before the Lord and his word. Coming to the one we want to talk about tonight, the main passage is in 1 Peter chapter 3, 16 to 18. Our conscience in the battle. You know, every single person that's born, whether they're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or not, faces battles every day. Life is not easy for every single person. They face battles. But the believer, he has an added battle to face, and that is the devil, the flesh, and the world. They all want to press in on him. And here I'm going to read verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 3 in a minute or so. But here we have again the conscience mentioned and the importance of it in this battle, the battles of life, and how I've really mentioned this. Again, it is mentioned this morning, the armor of God. I've mentioned this conscience as a breastplate of righteousness. There's two aspects to it, and I talk about both of them. Let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. What a verse for battle. The first aspect of this battle, there's the first part of the breastplate of righteousness is our righteousness in Christ. I want to mention that, and that is a very, very important part of the armor of the Christian life. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we cannot live the Christian life on our own strength. We need to depend on him. We need to feed on him. We need to talk to him. We need to trust him, as we heard here tonight. And as we do that, he strengthens us and helps us through this life. But sad to say, we don't always do that. We fail. The Bible makes it very clear that our lives, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus, are changed from glory to glory into the image of God. Or, in other words, little by little, he makes us more and more like Christ. And through the battles he brings into our life, that happens as we allow him to work through us. How important as a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, and I just want to take a minute and talk about that in case there might be a child or someone else here that's never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. There, we must realize we need a Savior, one to save us from our sins. And by faith, believe that Jesus is that one, and that on the cross he did what he needed to save me. And he just to call on him, it says, Lord, I need to be saved. Save me. And trust him to keep his word, and he will save you. That starts the Christian life. As the battle goes on, and we fail, we need to remember, in Christ, we're forgiven. We have the righteousness of God. It talks about it in Romans 3, 22 and 28. For time's sake, I'm not going to go there. Romans 10, 9 to 10, how we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Savior and will save us, then he will. But we may never forget that, our position in Christ. That beautiful verse, I've said it so often to you, and I'll say it again. I just can't get over the fullness of John 1, 8 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives. But look what that verse says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. He'll do it. He promised. He'll do it. And he's just. He can. No matter how deep we've fallen. David couldn't have fell much further. But he was forgiven. Keep that in mind. Our breastplate of righteousness. As Satan attacks us when we fail and get doubts and trials, that Jesus, our position in him is we're forgiven and we can come back and be forgiven and carry on. The next aspect of our breastplate of righteousness, it's very important to our joy, our peace, victory, to the time when we come to the end of life, and to eternity itself. It's going to affect what we will enjoy in heaven and won't. And that is, how do we face the battles of life? I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 to 17, and we'll go on with this. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither of their trouble. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. What a passage. How do we put on the breastplate of righteousness in battle? I think Peter here in the first few chapters, I'm just going to do a short overview of the chapter 2 and 3 here. He is talking to people who have suffered a lot. They were chased from their homes. They were scattered into a strange country. They were pilgrims. They for persecution's sake, they were chased. In 1 Peter 2, he reminds them that through Christ, they're made a kingdom of priests. There's so much in that. Priests go into God to intercede with him. And so we have access to the very presence of God in all our battles. We can go into him and talk to him, tell him how we feel, ask for his help. He's there. And that's verse 1 to 10. And then verse 12 is another interesting verse of chapter 2. I'm going to read it. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. By our good life, our godly life, close the mouth of the enemy. Brothers and sisters, if we don't put on righteousness in our life through the power of Christ, we'll lose the battle. How many believers that neighbors talk about, oh, that guy, oh, he did this and this. How we have to be so careful. If we want to win the battle, we have to have this experiential breastplate of righteousness. And there'll come a day, that word visitation means judgment or inspection. There'll come a day when all things are going to be brought to the front. And if we have walked with a good conscience according to the Holy Spirit and God's word, we will glorify God when it all comes to an end. The next, he talks about in verse 13, we're to be subject to the rulers. Maybe some of the things we're asking you to do are irritating you, but you know what? This is part of the breastplate of righteousness. The government has asked us to do this. We need to submit. And other things as well, and probably one of the hardest, is the accelerator on our vehicles. But they make the rules, and God has put them there, and we're supposed to recognize that. Even the evil and the corrupt ones. Servants, care for your masters. Serve them as you would serve the Lord. Then in verse 21 to 25, we have Christ's example about how to put on the breastplate of righteousness experientially. Wives to husbands, verse 1 to 6, how they're to be in submission to their husbands. And then husbands to wives. And I love this. In verse 7, it says, as husbands are to treat their wives as heirs together of the grace of life. Imagine, my wife Viola is on the same plane as me when it comes to God. We're heirs together of the grace of life. I may not forget that. Then verse 8 to 9 is each other as believers, how we do put that on. Then verse 10 to 18, how we respond to Christ in putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And then in verse 18, it was mentioned this morning in the meeting of chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, by the way, the last few there were in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. For Christ, this is the reason why we need to have a good conscience and be in submission in all these ways to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. I'm going to have to cut a bunch of stuff out. I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 to 10. These are very sobering words. Paul gives them to us himself from the pen of letter writing. Talk about what are our lives as we face the battle of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we face the battle of life, what are our lives portraying? Are we a hindrance to God's work, to his ministry? Are we a blessing through the battles, through the struggles? What are we? Paul gives us a list here that he says they did not give any offense in these, and that we too, as believers, are supposed to, in these things, not give any offense to the ministry. Let me read them to you. They are most sobering and challenging. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in patience, did I read that right? In much patience. In afflictions. In necessities. In distresses. In stripes. In imprisonments. In tumults. In labors, in watchings or sleeplessness because of the Lord's work, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. In all of those things, if we want to be victorious in the ministry of God, not hindered, we have to have a good conscience and a pure conscience. What a challenge. I love where it says here that we're to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. That's in Peter. That comes from the book of Isaiah. It was spoken to the children of Israel. And he said that they are to sanctify the Lord God in their hearts and not be afraid of any tear that man might bring on them. Brothers and sisters, we have so many choices to make. We need to make them through the power of Christ. But every step you take, you can make a choice. No. God, the Holy Spirit, and God's word is telling me to do this. I believe God is worth following. I believe in the end there will be reward far more than giving in for the moment. And if we fail, we're still the Lord's. We can be forgiven and we can go on. But that is how we have to face the battles of life. I'm going to close with a story. I'm convinced it's true, because all the stories and other stories are true in that writings. Maybe you have read it. There was a group of young people, high school students. They had a club at a high school. And there was this one guy who was coming, a high schooler, and he was in drugs and all kinds of things, bad things, and they were witnessing to him and praying. This one night, they felt God wants them to pray till that person gets saved. They prayed. And at 3 o'clock that morning, that person turned to the Lord. They were still on their knees. And he really was genuinely saved. Immediately, he had a huge heart for his drug addicts and homeless and all kinds. And he said, "Guys, we should start up a coffee room somewhere and invite these guys in." So they decided that's a good idea and prayed, and the Lord provided a room for them. They went in and got some couches and did everything they need. They had everything ready for the next day for people to come in and to start witnessing to them and giving them food and coffees. Right beside them was a Hell's Angel motorcycle gang. The next morning, they came into that room. Everything was gone. It was empty, except one little iron, the kind you set on a stove burner to heat up, just a little dinky thing. And they stood there crushed. Why, Lord? But then this guy that was saved, he said, "Guys, are you coming with me?" He walked over and he grabbed that iron. He walked out the door. Some of them went with him. He walked over to that Hell's Angel motorcycle door and knocked. Somebody came out to the door. "What do you want?" And he said, "We see you guys were busy last night, but we saw you didn't quite finish your job. You left this iron there. Here it is." "Okay, thank you." They closed the door. They went back. They did not know what to do. They went home. They came back the next morning. Everything was back in its place. And they had better police surveillance than the best police force could have given them. And they were friends with those guys and got many opportunities to witness to them. Overcome this battle with good. What a challenge to trust the Lord like the Cranbrinks with their situation. And the Christian life can be pretty exciting. I know for myself, I just felt one attack after another these last few weeks. It is just unbelievable, and you just had to pray your way through. But God is with us. How are we going to fight the battle? As we go on, are we going to help the ministry? Are we going to be a story like I told you, that will prosper in God's kingdom? Or are we going to be a story like others I've heard that unbelievers were talking about other Christians and it turned them away? What a challenge. I challenge you with it. A good, pure conscience before God has great reward. May God help us. I'm going to close in prayer, and then, Jake, you can come. Heavenly Father, We are so weak. As we turn our eyes to the sky, we see your greatness and your glory. As we turn it to the dust, we see the atoms all functioning according to your command. And we're in between there. And you've counted the hair of our head. You are keeping track of every idle word. You know our thoughts before we think them. Oh Lord, may you help us as a group of believers to want to dig into your word and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not have our conscience defiled against his will. May you help us. And may we see you saving souls, Lord. May you lay it on our hearts to witness, to have a life that's a testimony and that will draw people to yourself. And we will see you saving souls. We can't. It's only you. So we pray these things and commit each one here to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.